Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Set Listing Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. We are getting off the Bruce train, though I'm sure he will come up, as he often does. And we are talking to a fellow podcaster, someone with a long, very diverse portfolio of different skill sets and jobs, and I can't wait to talk to Rena. And she brought along her own guest, which I love. So, Rena, first, welcome to Set Listing Bruce.
Thank you so much for having us, Jesse. Yes, I brought my dad, and we were both born in the USA.
Yeah, it was funny. I had reached out to Rena about joining on the podcast, and she says, "My dad loves Bruce, so invite him." So we did. Why don't you introduce your dad?
I'm the second half of the Better Call Daddy show, where Rena interviews some beautiful guests, some controversial, some again, where it's relative with the legacy theme in mind, and how we all are in it together, where we have adversities we have to overcome and see if we can give back and share those values with everyone who wants to listen. And I comment and add 2 cents of wisdom. And usually I obtain 2 cents of wisdom from the guests, but it's a lot of fun.
That sounds great. Yeah. Bruce, one of Bruce's favorite lines is nobody wins unless everybody wins. And it does, I think every once in a while I'll have someone who will be unhappy with Bruce's politics. And I'll go, have you not paid attention to his music? All right, like this is not a surprise. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to everything. So, I always like to start at the beginning. So, we're going to start with you, Rena, and Wayne, jump in. Talk about where you grew up and what kind of music did your family listen to?
Yeah, I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, which is different than where my dad grew up on the East Coast in New York and Boston. And I was fortunate enough to know many of my great grandparents, all of my grandparents. My parents had me young. And I remember going over to my dad's parents' house, and they were big fans of music. My grandfather always wanted to work in Hollywood. In fact, he did the lights on Broadway. And he had Sinatra playing, Sammy Davis Jr., Tony Bennett. And those were, I think, even Sinatra was an influence on Bruce Springsteen. And so I loved hearing that kind of music. I would say that I was born in the 70s. So I started listening to Bruce's music more around like bar and bat mitzvah age. That's 12, 13. But some of the music that I got into was more like local artists. I actually worked at a local record store in Louisville called Ground Zero, funny enough.
Yeah.
And I loved local musicians. And I went to a youth performing arts school where I was exposed to all kinds of music, singing in different languages. I was classically trained. And then I got into punk rock, which is funny. And then when I went to that youth performing arts school, I got into R&B music. I actually really loved that and hadn't really been exposed to it until then. And I still like that kind of music today.
Yeah. How about you, Wayne? How, growing up, what kind of music were your parents listening to?
Just to add to what Rena has already commented on,
Yeah.
my father used to do the background lights for the Diana Shore show,
Wow.
but he also was the chauffeur for Frank Sinatra and some of these big stars that got their break, where his cousin, Stan Irwin, of course, his last name was Friedman, used to do the Johnny Carson show in Las Vegas. And he actually wrote a couple of the songs that Frank Sinatra used. And my dad used to chauffeur him around. And there's a very interesting story that Harry Belafonte was performing. And my father was sick. But because he used to know how to do the lights right and really bring out the stars with the lighting, Harry Belafonte told the management there that he's not going to perform unless Marvin is doing the lights. And they called my dad on the phone and he said, "Not feeling well, but I guess I could get there. He's not going to perform. Take about an hour." And Harry Belafonte told all the people in the audience that will give you your money back. But otherwise, we have to wait for Marvin to get here to do the lights. And nobody left. It was a full house. And my dad showed up an hour late, like he was the star of the show. And Harry Belafonte, of course, was also a great performer. And of course, there's a lot of people that know that he was involved in politics, but in a good way, where he was
Yes.
for the movement of everybody having freedoms and rights. He was actually a very good friend of Martin Luther King, believe it or not. So it's a
Yes, I
lot of
do hear that.
interwining that my dad had. And Rena brought up also that I think when it comes to Bruce Springsteen, he really sings from the heart and he's a loyal person. You know, he put this band together where they've been together, I think, for 40 years. He's very dedicated. He's very pro-America. And he might not be the best singer in the world, but he sings with that New York or New Jersey type of accent and he belts it out and he does it with feeling. And that's what makes him really riles up the crowd because he has a way of being with people and where you want to be part of his movement. Isn't that something that music sometimes is also a way to interpret what you want to do with your life? It doesn't have to be a separate thing. It can be part of everyday life. And that's why a lot of people, I think, enjoy his music.
I think you're exactly true. One of the things that talk a lot about on this podcast is that music is our companion, right? It is, and whether it's Bruce or Lenny Kravitz or Leonard Cohen or Janet Jackson or name any artist, many times we are incredibly passionate about those bands because they are the soundtrack of our lives. And yeah, I think what's been fascinating, Bruce talked about this in his last studio album was Letter to You. And he and if this was before the pandemic, he and the E Street Band all got together at his studio and over 3 or 4 days recorded a bunch of songs. And he said, music is the only job where you can 40 years later still be hanging out with your high school buddies. Like him and Steven met when they were going to different high schools, but they met in their early teens and they're still friends 50 years later. And he said that's unique in the business world.
I agree.
Recently worked out at a radio station this past year, and it was two guys that had worked together 30 years ago in college, and now they're both retired and have had fruitful careers and decided to start a station together.
Yeah. Rena, do you feel that because of your grandfather's bloodlines, is that why you think you might have been drawn to entertainment?
100%. Yes. They just had a real love of the arts. They encouraged it with their children and their children's children. And they came to my performances. My grandfather took his hat off to me. And seeing that, it's invigorating, it's contagious.
Yeah. Have you always wanted to perform, to be involved?
Oh, yeah. As a little kid, I used to line up my grandparents on the couch that my dad's sitting on right now
Yeah.
and put on performances. Some of it was lip singing, but
Yeah.
some of it was me trying to actually sing on top of the artist.
Yeah. So do you agree with
Do you
that way?
remember that,
Yeah, I was going
Dad?
to ask, do you
Sure.
remember this, her always doing that?
The only thing is that she didn't realize that sometimes in the background I was singing with
Ha.
her.
Kevin Pollak tells the story that, and this is, of course, obviously dated now, but there was a Bill Cosby record and he was lip syncing that as an 8-year-old. And he didn't know what that was. He just was doing that. And his mom came in and said, "You're doing it for Passover," right? And he talks a lot about, like many comedians, he has look at me disease. Like he wants that to be the center of the attention. At the same time, incredibly shy. It is that mixture back and forth. So I want to talk to you. Just, I think there's two kinds of people that show up on the podcast. The people that say that embraced their parents' music and enjoyed it. And then as they grew into teenagers and older, they expanded their horizon. Or they're the people that reject it. I have no interest in hearing my parents' music. And then when they're 30, they go, oh, this Johnny Cash guy might had a little something that my dad used to love. Which one were you if you had to go in one category or the other?
That's funny because I think I started out where I was like checking out their record collection and
Yeah.
playing with their records and had a similar style, but then I went through my like rebellious teen years where I got
Sure.
into that local punk rock. And yeah, like when I was putting on those performances for my parents on the couch, it was like Gloria Estefan, like one,
Yeah.
two, three, four, come on, baby, say you love me. And I was
Yeah.
doing these little cutesy songs, but then when I started finding my own style and I was singing in the shower, that was definitely more my own style. And my mom did not like that stage of my life. In fact, when I went back to pick up that record collection and all those LPs, she was like, I did not like that stage of your life and go sell those records. So.
Dad, you want to give your side of it when she was going through her rebellion goth phase, maybe, or her punk?
I just prayed every day that she woke up in the same bed in her bedroom.
But you know what? My dad was cool. He let me dye my hair with Kool-Aid and he took me to the shows and he said, Rena's having fun and she's going with her girlfriends and she'll be all right. He didn't like when I pierced my tongue and my belly button, but he got over it.
Because of safety concerns, right? That's right. You're worried. Yes. I tell this story, and son, we were always close. But then when he hits teenage years, high school, first few years of college, you're just not on the same page, right? There's this tension between you. And I remember once asking my wife, I said, he's doing okay in college, but he's not doing great. And are we trying to put a square peg in a round hole, right? And I said, because we're spending a lot of money. And she said, it's cheaper than a lawyer because if he moves home, I will kill him or he will kill me. Now, when he was a junior, it's clicked. Just he went from, hey, Chris, how's it going? Okay. To, hey, Chris, how's it going? In this class, I'm doing this. In class, I'm doing this. I've already talked to the teacher and everything. And so I always tell parents that you do run to that years. And then on the other side of it, in the middle 20s, your kid comes back to you as a friend and you have that adult relationship. And you'll always be child and parent, but there is more of a, and then often he teaches me things now. So, Wayne, do you think that's similar with you and
Well,
Rena?
I think you've got it right on the head. I think once we reach a certain point in our lives, we find that getting wisdom points, as we talk on the Better Call Daddy show, is turns out to be more important than material things, sometimes even dollars and cents, where we try to be a little bit wiser. And the only way to do that is to be open-minded and being able to listen to others. But sometimes listening to younger people are fresher ideas. They think outside the box. They're not, it's not as restrictive, and they tell you how they really feel. Sometimes as we get older, we don't show all our cards. We don't even reveal what we're thinking. And that's why I always like to be surrounded by young people, because there's more a genuine feeling of responses that you're getting. And let's face it, when it comes to today's technology, my grandchildren and my children sometimes even run circles around me where they're teaching me all different tricks on the computer that I certainly didn't learn when I was in school.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on that, Rita, but to tell another story that I remember I was in a situation at work or something, and I was talking to Chris about it, and Chris said, okay, Dad, I don't want to hurt your feelings. So he goes, you're a nice guy, but I sometimes think you're too nice. And you got to be just a little bit of a jerk. You got to be a little bit more of an asshole or people are going to take advantage of you. So, for example, and he gave an example of how to be just a little more of a jerk, right? And I really respected that because I do think, as someone who grew up in the South, I was born in 59. I grew up very conservative home, and yes, ma'am, no, sir, very polite. And Chris, sometimes you need to be a little bit more aggressive in that. And I really thought that was an interesting thought that I tend to be, and doesn't help that I've been in customer service my whole life, right? So my whole life is people calling, telling me, we've got problems. And I go, okay, let me fix it for you. So it's interesting.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once, new quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of Scary Guys, Skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
I want to talk about the podcast for a minute. So tell me your journey, how you ended up doing, because you've done other podcasts before. So let's start with your early days of podcasting. And then how did it lead to this one?
I feel like I planted some seeds even in college. I worked for an NPR station.
Okay.
And I was reading the news and weather, and I learned how to rewrite the news stories that came across the AP Newswire.
Okay.
And I enjoyed doing that. I worked there at the beginning. The first year I worked there, it was manually run, where I had to sometimes load the features. I had to put on a record if there was dead air. And I learned how to manually run the audio board. But then once they introduced automation and I could pre-record bits and get creative with my news stories or how I introduced myself, I really enjoyed that. And I feel like that introduced me in college. And then I was reintroduced to the audio medium about 5 years ago with a guy that I was connected with on LinkedIn. We just had a lot in common. We got married the same day. We had the same number of kids in the same order. We had the same birthday. I'm like, this is strange. We had a lot in common. And he was like, hey, I have this show. It was called Next Level People. And it was him and another recruiter. And they were using it to interview potential people that they might be able to recruit business for. Then they were like, hey, you have some casting experience. Maybe we should interview other people too. You want to try to find us some interesting guests that might bring our numbers up. And so I started booking them guests, and then it was just two guys, and they were like, hey, it'd be interesting to have a female perspective. And I'm like, that sounds fun. And so I did it like 15, 20 shows with them. And then I started really getting excited by that. The numbers started going up. I started keeping in touch with the guests. And then I was like, huh, I could do that for other podcasters. So there was a guest on that show that I gave to another podcaster girlfriend of mine. And then she ended up hiring me, saying, hey, wow, if you can get me guests like that, see if you can get bigger guests with bigger followings. And then she hired me for a live in-person event. So it was like after I worked for 3-4 influencers and I started booking them guests and working on their events with them and helping them run their communities and grow a following, I was like, wow, I have all these skills. Why don't I do this for myself? And then the pandemic comes and everybody starts one. And I was part of that.
How did you come up with the idea of Better Call Daddy? And did you, in the back of your mind, did you know you wanted to include your dad or that connection?
What's interesting is that live event that I helped produce, and I booked sponsors for it, and I helped manage all the guests on stage, and I actually emceed the main podcaster who went out. My dad was in LA for business on that trip, and I was 7 months pregnant, and I had a previous miscarriage, and he was like, I will help you set up the tables. I will help you set up the sponsor booths. Like, he's always been my right hand. Even when I worked at Jerry Springer and I couldn't get booked always, like in the proper amount of time, I'm like booking right up until the show, like limoing people out day of. I'm calling my dad. I'm like, how is this show going to come together? He's like, it always comes together. So he's always been... Don't you love hearing this, Dad? He's always been my encourager, and he's a hustler himself. I've seen him recreate himself many times in business. And like your dad said, you know, I knew that my dad wouldn't back out on me. My dad's telling me all the time, don't be a doormat, don't be a sucker. He's always giving me great advice in business. So I thought that he had advice that might be good for others. And I wanted to share his wisdom with the world. And then at the same time, like exercise some of my creativity chops. Right? Grow a community, book guests, have a platform, use our voice, do something creative together. And the whole time he's like, you need music. You need to collaborate with musicians. You need creatives. And so we try to bring those elements.
What? So let's talk about it. So what's your elevator pitch for Better Call Daddy?
Okay. I actually have one now.
Yay.
I interview interesting and controversial people. I share the stories with my dad, and then he weighs in with his wisdom and wit at the end of every episode. It's for daddy's girls, inspirational fathers, or if you have a little bit of daddy drama.
Nice. When she brought you on this, Wayne, what was your original thoughts?
The funny part is that my first reaction was, is that I'm just a regular dude, a regular guy. Who would even be interested in my advice? And then when she started talking about how important my advice and experiences are to her, and that there's a lot of people that don't have that type of relationship and would like to hear that as a soothing comment as well, I started thinking about it and realizing really how fortunate I was to have parents and grandparents. And to be honest, I probably shouldn't say this on your show, but I was everybody's favorite, and I was loved so much that I have a very unique experience of working with my parents for 45 to 50 years. When you were talking about people in Bruce Springsteen's band, where he's been together with them for 40 or 50 years, I have people that have worked for me where I might not see them for 10 or 20 or 30 years. If I pick up the phone and ask them to be part of something, it's just like yesterday. And I'm working with someone I hadn't worked with for 20 years and started doing business with them. And we're working together again now for 10 years. The idea is that when you form relationships and special relationships, and you're able to have a way of sharing that with other people, I was all for it. And it's really, this is really like a generational show also, where I get a chance to be able to retrieve the lessons that I got from my parents and my grandparents. And Rena's carrying on, where she includes sometimes her daughter or her son on the show, where we have that interconnection where you get different perspectives from different generations. and showing a legacy or a purpose of the future and about reaching out to make a community of people where by sharing these ideas, we would like to think that we're making the world have an opportunity to be a little better place. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I love that because we do need more kindness. We need more connections. One of the things that I tell people about this podcast is I will get people to push back and go, I don't have an interesting story. And I go, yes, everyone has an interesting story. I believe every Springsteen fan has a story to tell. And my goal is to get as many of them on tape as possible. But I do think that, and I would love for you to hear your opinion on this, but sometimes the guests that you would not think would be the most engaging are some of the best. Don't you find, Rena?
Absolutely. And the funny part is that they're counting on your affirmation when you, at the end of the show. But the fact is that they give you information that you never would have thought of or even dreamt about, where you actually learn from them. And to share that with everybody else, where you get different perspectives of it, is very powerful.
It really is.
It reminds me of, I had a guest that wanted to come on the Jerry Springer show. And I'm going to be honest, like we had backup stories. So we had the stories that the producers wanted. And then if somebody canceled last minute, which happened a lot, we had a backup story and we'd tell them to get on the plane. Otherwise, we'd make up an excuse and tell the backup story that Jerry got stuck in London or something.
Yeah.
And I had this story that I swear I strung along 3 weeks in a row. I felt bad about it. But when that story came, it wasn't that great of a story. The bread and butter of the show is like love triangles.
Right.
And this was just a hate your mate. A mom hates the daughter's boyfriend. But that mom hated that daughter's boyfriend so much.
Yeah.
She went multiple segments. So it, sometimes a story can just sound simple. But it's the people and the way that they tell it and the emotion behind it.
What do you, I'm going to switch to your role because you did talk about, how long did you work in the Jerry Springer world?
So that was my first job out of college. So it was a very pivotal role where it taught me everything I needed to know about storytelling and booking guests and casting and budgeting and all of that. I worked there for 2.5 years. So I worked there for 2 full seasons and then the season opener to a third, which got me into the Producers Guild. And then I moved to LA and worked in reality TV at the forefront of that.
What do you think is the most common misconception about life in the Jerry Springer world?
That's a good question. After having interviewed Jerry about a year ago now, I would say the biggest misconception is that the one, I don't know, is it a misconception? Is that everybody's just like over the top? I think that some of the people that he interviewed actually really he cared about. So I would say that was a misconception. It wasn't just a put on. There was a guy that I recently had on my podcast and he was a 70-pound baby and he had giantism, I think it's called. And Jerry helped him find a geneticist after the show and actually cared about him and the mom and checked in with them and did an update story with them 20 years later. So I guess the biggest misconception would be is that it was all fluff or that it was all over the top. But actually, Jerry did care about people. And I don't think that he really saw himself as better than.
Right.
I think he had a lot of people that were just down home people and he gave them their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I would say.
What do you think is it about reality TV that's captivated you and why you've spent so much time in it, Rena?
And I think that's part of why I want a podcast now is that I think the more people that you talk to, even if people have completely different political views or different upbringings or don't have the same relationship with their dad, is that we all experience a lot of the same things. And I want to know how they got through it or what was the craziest thing they've experienced and what did they learn from that?
Okay, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. So talk to me a little bit more about some of your favorite episodes on the podcast. And I'd love to hear your thoughts, Wayne. Who are people that surprised you? We'll start with you and then we'll go to Rena.
just to add to the Jerry Springer episode, is that he's not only a compassionate person, but he's really very smart. And he also, if he had a choice of running the show himself, there's certain restrictions that a big network puts on you. So they almost put you in a box. So he didn't really like some of the twists and turns that the show was doing near the end. So the irony is that you think that he's planning this and doing it. And unfortunately, he was playing a role as well. He was also had a lot of humility and very grateful for a lot of the jobs that he ended up getting, where he felt that he was a very fortunate person and very down to earth. And I think that's a lot what we try to do on our show as well, is where we try to show compassion and understanding, but we want to be down to earth and real, and not where it's a put on, not where it's plastic, not where it's politically motivated, but where we can have an honest discussion.
I love that, because that's one of the things that I've been, a couple of people push back. I've had some guests who tend to be a little more on the conservative side of the political spectrum. And I make the joke that my wife and I are very lonely blueberries in a very strawberry state, right? I absolutely welcome if they're Springsteen fans or music fans, but I also want to give that equal voice to someone who does feel different than I do, who has a different belief, because we all come from things from a different perspective. So share with me a couple of things that you've learned from doing the podcast, Rena.
I was just thinking about an upcoming story. I guess I could give a little teaser, but I interviewed a lady who was an actress in her younger years, and then she became a mom and took a 16-year break. And I saw some of her videos of her saying, look, I got back into acting at 47 years old, and as long as you dream it, you can do it. And she hired great coaches and created a new reel and reinvented herself. And now she's been in 6 films. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then this daddy story came out of nowhere, where she was telling me that she was a rebellious teen and one of her friends stole her dad's car and she ended up having a court date. And when she went to her court date, I'm giving away the whole story, but when she had her court date, her dad shows up in court and he's got a military background. He was a fighter jet pilot and was like, not on my watch. So he called her in court incorrigible. I've never even heard that term. I'm like, what is incorrigible? Right. And she ended up in a boarding school. And so she tells that story. And that was just such a shock, because we started off professional and she's telling me about her acting career and how you can reinvent yourself at any age. And I love that message. That's great. But then, boy, did she have a daddy story. So I loved the twist.
That's awesome. I had a wonderful person join me a couple months ago, and I will send you the link to the episode, because I saw you had someone who had to work with forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah's grandmother was killed by a friend of the family, and it led her through a very dark time. A lot of substance abuse, self-medication, a lot of unhealthy choices. She finally got sober. But the remaining thing, that bridge she wouldn't cross, is I'm not going to forgive this person. And no matter how much her sober coach or her sponsor said, you need to do this to heal, she, no, won't do it. And so she's driving home and she hears Bruce Springsteen's song Letter to You, and which is from his new album. And that letter was a moment of like Damascus. And she got home, she sat down, and she wrote a letter to the man who'd killed her grandmother and just poured everything into it, sealed it up, mailed it.
Wow.
Couple weeks later, letter comes back. She can't open it. She's afraid to open it. And after a few days, her husband reads it and says, "It's okay, you can read this." Skip to the end. When he is executed, she is in the room watching him. And just like the film where, you know, Dead Man Walking, she is staring at him saying, "I love you. It's okay. I forgive you." It is a powerful story. And so I will send
Whoa.
You the episode.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
Yeah, it was. And it was. And so you talk about the power of music, right? And she tells the story that because she forgave him, his family forgave him. Like they said, if you can forgive him for killing your grandmother, I can forgive him. And so he actually was able to, the last few years of his life, they started healing. And she is now going to school, and that is going to be her future, is to work at stopping the death penalty and to make sure that people that are guilty of this are treated with love and compassion and have things.
Bruce Springsteen needs to hear that story.
Yes, I do. I agree. I agree. I will send you the episode, and if I will also send you the connection if you decide maybe that I think she would be a good interview.
Yeah, that's quite a story. That's amazing. Yeah. That really reminds me of a guest that we had, Rosie Kuhn, who she forgave her father's murderer.
Yeah.
She also wrote a letter to him in prison. And the way she even found him was like somebody gave her a book that was written about Cambodians in her area. And it turns out the guy who did it was also from the same country where she came from.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was able to forgive him where they correspond now. But she lost her dad at a very young age. And I was just like, man, that level of forgiveness is truly incredible. And I don't think that the guy who killed her dad actually got to say goodbye to his own parents.
Yeah, it is. What's next for the podcast? What do you guys, what haven't you done that you want to do?
This for me is, I would love to interview Howard Stern. He has recycled some of the guests that I booked on Springer. That would be crazy.
Wow, that'd be great. Yeah.
Or even maybe just more Jerry Springer guests, like catching up with them like 20 years later. Yeah. I've done that with a few and that's really fun. And then, to be honest, this crazy situation in the Middle East, I would like to interview people on both sides of that and maybe expand my mind there. I think that would be really tough, but also very interesting. I like news stories. There was a kid in Chicago that was cyberbullied, and he was the same age as my son, and he ended up committing suicide. And I felt like he looked like he could be my son. And then I interviewed the parents like 2 months after that, live in person. And that was a really heartfelt interview. Another girl I saw on the news and somebody sent me her story was she went in for just a regular routine checkup. She thought she had a cyst and then turned out like a year later, it was stage 4 cancer. And my mom had breast cancer. My grandmother had it. And I interviewed this girl just to spread awareness around that. So I think if you have a platform and an audience, you really can reach out to anyone and just see if they have a daddy story. What's their relationship with their dad? Do they want to be a dad? Find a daddy angle. Find more daddy stories.
I love that. That's absolutely wonderful. How about you, Wayne? Are you surprised how much you've enjoyed being part of this podcast?
It's really been a lot of fun, and we've learned a lot together. And it's something where, as you stated earlier in the broadcast, that you really get a chance to be and work like a partner with your daughter. I worked with a partner with my parents, and to be able to do that in another generation, really quite rewarding. Just to give you two quick examples, is that some of the guests from the show, one was where I thought that having children or extra children and maybe doing some type of donation and making children. And we had a guest on the show where he formed a club of making all these children and having reunions with them. And yet he didn't show responsibility to his own children. And you say to yourself, he's playing godlike And even I have a similar thought, but you get the when you get a story like that and how this notion of just filling the world with your sperm and not really being a proper parent yourself defeats the whole purpose of it. That was a very interesting perspective that I got from the show. And another really interesting perspective was that I'm really not in favor of abortion, but met a girl on this show where I got to feel her pain and her understanding of some of the circumstances that she was going through, where she ended up having an abortion. And I said to myself, you could actually believe very strongly in a certain political point of view. But when you hear a heartfelt story of someone else that was not able to co cope with that possibility, you can change your mind. You can, by hearing more perspectives of people and understanding them with a little taste of wisdom, I changed my opinion. So that's really also comes out of this show, is that it really gives me an opportunity really to get a little wiser. And I love that.
Yeah, I think that's amazing because too often we don't go into things with an open mind. I'm as guilty as anyone. And it's always nice when you see a different perspective and at least acknowledge that I have a very skewed perspective, right? I'm a 64-year-old white guy raised in Louisiana. I've spent all my adult life in Texas. I have a very narrow scope, right? I do not see things the way other people see. And the first step is to acknowledge that someone else could see things different than me and to understand that their perspective is just as valid as my own. And I think that's where a lot of people run into where they don't want to acknowledge that the other person possibly has a different perspective, and that doesn't make them wrong. It just means it's a different perspective.
And they actually might be right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very scary. They could actually
Yeah.
be right.
So, speaking of dads, I don't know, have either one of you listened to the song Independence Day by Bruce Springsteen?
I've listened to a lot of
Okay.
Bruce Springsteen's music, but I don't necessarily know all of them
Okay.
by
So
title.
this is a song off the river. And when he was touring back in 2016, it was the he was doing the river in complete. The concert he did the river in order of the song. And Independence Day was a song he wrote about his dad. And the talk about that, and as he explained, and you can find this on YouTube, do a search, Independence Day Live. He was explaining that it was the story of a father and a son that both loved each other but just didn't know how to say it. I'm not going to let them do to me what they did to you, is one of the lines. And I found it very powerful because Bruce at the time, late 60s, probably older than his father was when he wrote it. So he wrote the song as a young man, and now then he's singing it from the perspective of the father, right? So, since you guys do Better Call Daddy and dad songs, I'd recommend that Independence Day, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. What else do you guys do, father and daughter bonding, besides podcasting together?
Today, I actually helped my dad in business because he does some consulting work with people who used to work for him.
Yeah.
And my dad is a boomer and doesn't know how to make things digital. So I helped him make his invoice a lot more beautiful.
Oh, very
Thank you very
nice.
much.
That's nice. Good.
But I felt good about that. I was like, wow, now we have another project I can do with my dad. I can
I'm
help
helping.
him communicate with his customers more professionally.
I actually, Reen has gone on a couple of the lighting shows with me, and I have to admit, she was a bigger hit with her and her friend than I was, but I did get some very nice contact business out of it. But the fact is that they're very personable type of people, and they were able to attract the crowd. I felt like I was on TV at the lighting show, actually.
That's great. So we're gonna end with a couple of music questions, and then I'm gonna let you guys promote the podcast. But who are you listening to now, Wayne? What music, what is pretty often on your whatever your musical device is of the time, be it your phone, your car radio, your home stereo? What are you listening to?
Well, the music I'm mainly listening to and really get a kick out of is I love listening to some of the original songs on The Voice and America's Got Talent
Okay.
and American Idol. I'm really a fan of these shows. I'm really listening to a lot of those shows. And of course, I'm still hustling and working and doing a lot of other things. So I'm on this computer quite a bit every day, but I really got a kick out of really last night's performance of this Cody Lee singing, also a tribute to his mom. And he just did an unbelievable show. And then there's this girl, Lauren, that got eliminated last night, but she sang an edited edition from the Wizard of Oz, but she didn't get through. There was a drumming one that eliminated her. But she is the was the singer on The Greatest Showman,
Okay.
and the actress mimicked while she sang in the background.
Ah.
And some of these stories really are fascinating to me. The
Sure.
amount of talent that's out there, people that can sing and never get an opportunity, never really can seize the stage. So to really listen to her these last few months has also been great. And I grew up where the Beatles were at the top of the chart. And Barry
Absolutely.
Manilow, of course, my wife loves, and I even took her to a Barry Manilow concert. But I thought all of his songs sounded the same, but I did love that Copacabana that he saves till the end.
Very
But
nice.
yeah, it's been crazy because somebody sang that Imagine by
Lennon,
John
yeah.
Lennon, and he put his own little twist to it. And singing some of these old songs with a new little twist or version to it, I'll tell you, it even makes me cry because you feel and see the new talent, and
Yeah.
it brings back all of the memories that you grew up with. So I do understand why a lot of people love to hear the music that they grew up with, because it just makes you eternally young. I don't know how to explain it. Is
It
that
is.
we're stuck with the music we grew up with.
Yeah.
And that's, I wish my dad could be on this broadcast with you because he would love to sing you a couple of Frank Sinatra songs and
That
Harry
would be awesome.
Belafonte and
Yeah.
Tony Bennett, and give you also his rendition of some of his music because he also just loved these guys.
Very
And
nice.
I think that's a good way for me to close with you, is that music invigorates you. And it really keeps you young.
Absolutely. It is a time machine. How about you, Rena? What are you listening to?
I was just thinking that I just found out that Bruce Springsteen wrote the Natalie Merchant song Because the Night. And I
Yes.
loved Natalie Merchant and 10,000 Maniacs
Yeah.
and that type of music. And I'm like, oh my God, I think that's like on the oldie station now, but
Yeah.
I love her music.
Yes.
I think if I were to turn something on right now, it would be that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Great. Yes, he did. He and Patti Smith wrote Because the Night.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah. All right. So tell us if someone wants to reach you, what's the best way?
They can go to bettercalldaddy.com or they can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook at Rena Friedman Watts.
Okay. And how about you, Wayne? Are you hanging out on social media?
I'm hanging out with my daughter. I let her lead the way.
There you go.
I don't mind being in the background.
That sounds great. All right. Before I let you go, though, I end every podcast with the Mary question. And what this is, if you are a fan of A Better Call Daddy and you're checking out this, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. They have made you very proud. Jay Armstrong was a honors English teacher in the Philadelphia area. He is now retired. But when he was teaching, he would give his students the lyrics to the song Thunder Road, and they would read it as if it was a poem. They would discuss the themes and the imagery Bruce portrays. And then he would ask his class at the end of the day, does Mary get in the car? So that was your homework. So we're going to start with you, Wayne.
Oh, give it to me first because I did my homework. I don't know. He might need
Okay.
to copy
All right.
off
Well,
my
then we'll
answer.
okay. Then we'll start with Rita. What did your opinion? There is no right answer. Did Mary get in the car?
I think every girl wants to get in the car with the guy.
Okay.
And it honestly reminded me of like Dirty Dancing and how nobody wants to leave baby in the corner. Like, you want to
Okay.
get in the car with the guy. So
I
my
love
answer
that.
is she did.
She got in the car. Very nice. Cool. How about you, Wayne? Did you check out the song?
I was listening to it. I did get a phone call in between,
Okay.
so I didn't catch the very end of it. I didn't
Okay.
realize that I had to do that,
That's
but
okay.
I think my daughter stated it very well.
I agree.
If he's a good dude and he's done the right thing, I think that it's nice if the girl got in the car. So I'm going to vote that she got in the car too.
Perfect answers. Thank you both. All right, Betty called Daddy. Go to the website, check out the podcast, sign up for the mailing list. They are an incredibly entertaining podcast that I have really enjoyed exploring. Thank you, Wayne. Thank
I
you, Rita, for
appreciate it.
spending
Thanks for
time.
having Rena on, and I hope you didn't mind that she put her dad on with her.
No, I loved it. I thought this was great. I got two for one.
I
So that is
appreciate it. All
great.
right, I'm
All
signing
right.
off.
All
All right,
right. Thank you.
thank
Rita,
you.
any final thoughts?
Cheers to 1,000 more episodes. Jesse, you are doing a phenomenal job, and I'm so happy to be connected with you. Everybody should drop you a 5-star review.
Thank you. All
Thanks.
right. Thank
See you
you,
guys.
Wayne. See you later. All right, listeners, go check out the podcast. Go check out Rena. For now, be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye. I'm about to name some people who help me keep this podcast going. They are the wonderful members of my Patreon group. I appreciate each of them. You can learn how to be a patron by going to patreon.com, look for Set Lusting Bruce, and for as little as $5 a month, you can support the podcast and get access to unedited episodes. And as little as $1 a month, you get a handwritten thank you note from me and a shout out at least once a month thanking you in an episode. So, Sean, David and Jennifer, Jeff, Sylvan, Liz, Yetta, Steve, Coach Randy, Rob, Bella, John, Betsy, Levi, Liz, Stephen, and Steve, Dale, Terry, Chris, and Mary. All of you are amazing, and thank you for being part of this wonderful group. You know I love you.
There we go, another episode. I'm about to go through a couple of things where you can reach me and give me feedback. So if you want to skip this, I understand, but I do hope you check it out every once in a while. I'm available on Twitter at Jesse Jackson DFW. The show is available at Setlusting Bruce. You can send me an email, setlustingbruce@gmail.com. You can send me a voicemail at 469-249-2442. I am currently doing a few other podcasts, Perfectly Good Podcast, John Hiatt from A to Z, where Sylvan Groth and I discuss every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. My Babylon 5 podcast is Last Best Hope for Conversation, where Lou Karen and I discuss every episode of Babylon 5 in chronological order. I still am doing Next Stop Everywhere, the Doctor Who podcast with my brother in time, Charles Skaggs. And then finally, How Many Podcasts, the only podcast on the internet that counts, where my buddies and I discuss pop culture. You can go to our Patreon page and support the podcast for as little as $1 a month. You can go to our Facebook page, like, and please, please go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and leave a 5-star rating and review for all of the podcasts that I'm doing. It's okay if you don't listen to them, but if you subscribe and rate, it really will make my day better. Thank you, and I will talk to you soon.
You just heard the fun talking, hard rocking, music loving, album ranking, fan thinking, joy spreading, lyric reading, story sharing podcast that is the one, the only, Set Listing Bruce. The theme for Set Listing Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.